everyone, and welcome to Sound Health Radio. You are listening to Be Good to Yourself by Journey. This is your guest host, Heather Baker, along with my guest co-host, Nikki Bird. Some of you may know me from Vocal Profiling Live with Sherry Edwards on Monday nights, where she likes to refer to me as Tall Blonde Heather. Although I'm not really that tall, let you in on a little secret. Sherry Edwards is taking a much-deserved break this week, and we are filling in for her. For those of you who don't know me, I am the media coordinator for Sound Health, the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, and Sherry Edwards. Nikki, my co-host, is one of our practitioners here at Sound Health. One of the very best ways that you can be good to yourself is to take care of yourself, to live a healthy lifestyle. Our guest tonight is Larry Trivieri, one of Sound Health's favorite guests, and he's back with us after, I think, Larry, haven't you been with us twice before?
Three times, I think.
Great. Well, it's great having you back. Larry is a leading writer and editor in the field of holistic and alternative medicine, and he has over 30 years of experience in the field. Larry, we'll get to you in just a minute, and I'm sure you have a wealth of information to share with us on how to take care of yourself. But before we do that, Nikki, I believe you have some announcements.
Are we taking calls tonight, Heather?
We are taking calls tonight. You want to give them the call-in numbers?
The toll-free number to call in is 877-876-5227 in the U.S. and 888-815-9756 in Canada.
And we are also monitoring our emails. If you want to shoot us an email, you can reach me, Heather, at vocalprofiling.com. Or you can reach Nikki at Nikki, N-I-C-K-I, at vocalprofiling.com. Okay, Nikki, can you tell our audience a little bit about what it's like to be a practitioner here with Bioacoustics and Sound Health?
Well, I've been studying with Sherry here at the Institute for about 4 months now, and I've learned to use the computer programs that she's designed. We take a vocal print, the computer measures the frequency in the voice, and we replace those frequencies in the body so that it can heal itself. And I just graduated last week.
Congratulations. Yay.
I've done 2 case studies, and my second one was so exciting. Actually, it was a girl here at the office, and she was having some problems with her neck and the muscles in her back. And I was able to determine what muscles those were and give her body back those frequencies. And the next day when she came back to work, she was doing windmills with her arms and ready to go.
You know, Nikki, I have to tell you, it was funny because she called me at home twice that night to tell me how wonderful and excited she was that you made her feel better. Because she had felt so bad for, 3 or 4 days beforehand.
Yes.
So she was really, really happy.
And, you know, taking the classes and learning bioacoustics is so amazing. There's so many people that come into the office and they walk out feeling so much better. And the next day when they come back, they're just amazed at how well they feel. And it's not us. It's the body healing itself through frequency. And it's just an amazing process. We have class once a month. It's a 5-day course. And you learn how to take a vocal print and run it through the computers that Sherry's designed, which are so easy, a click of the button. And you learn to give tone presentation, and you help people to feel better. And they really, really do.
That's great. I know the easiest way to get started, for those of you who don't know this, is to go to Nutra Sounds, that's N-U-T-R-A Sounds with an S, .com. And there's a form on there that you fill out, and the first step is our online demo class. It's free. It's only an hour out of your day. It's all interactive demo. It's easy. It's simple.
Yeah. Online, even. You don't even have to
You don't even have to be here. So if you want to get signed up for that, go to Nutrasounds.com. And I think we were talking about this earlier. Isn't there some kind of incentive going on with class right now, Nikki?
Yeah, there's a special for October, isn't it?
I think she said that we could go ahead and extend that to September, and my bookkeeper is going to hate me for this, but it's 2 matching scholarships we're going to give away for the month of September. Basically what it is half price. So if you are interested in that, please get in contact with us. If you want to give us a call at the office, our phone number is 740-698-9119, and myself or Nikki will be happy to discuss that if you're interested in it. So please give us a call.
Oh, wait, Heather, I forgot to tell you about my weight loss study. Since I've been here,
yeah,
at Sound Health, I, of course, had a little bit of a problem with my weight, so I decided to jump in and start a weight loss study, and the first step of it was we did a vocal print and we saw what nutrition I was lacking, so I just took vitamin supplements, and through that I lost 20 pounds with
uh-huh.
the supplements, no tone presentation yet, and then we found the frequency equivalence to the abdominal muscles.
Which is, everybody wants, I want to get on in that.
Yeah.
Somebody give me a tone box.
We're fighting over them. But I have to tell you, I was listening to the abdominal tones that strengthen the abdominal muscles,
yeah.
and I fell asleep, and I woke up because I felt like I was giggling, and I put my hand on my abs, and I'm positive I could feel them working.
No, okay. Let me get this straight. By listening to these tones, it actually exercises your abdominal muscles.
It strengthens the abs.
And you don't actually have to work out?
You don't have to work out. And I wasn't convinced, but I am 100% convinced. And I have lost 2 pounds since I've been listening to the ab frequencies.
That's great. I know I get a lot of inquiries about the weight loss project, so that's really kicked off.
It's really, we're making progress, and we feel like weight is, it's not just people sitting around eating junk all the time. It's the way our body processes
stuff. It's a struggle. It's a struggle for a lot of people, myself included. I know I'm not happy at the weight I am right now. I want a tone box.
We're fighting for them. Go to the office.
Okay, Larry, we haven't forgotten about you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing
good.
Great.
How's Mary Lou?
Mary Lou's great.
Good.
Mary Lou's his beautiful, talented girlfriend whom we met at the Chicago Health Freedom Expo. And I saw her website with her photos. Excellent. She does beautiful work.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, Larry, you've been a writer and contributing editor for Alternative Medicine Magazine and written many, many other articles for other healthcare magazines. You are recognized as one of the leading experts in alternative medicine. How did you get into this field?
Basically because of health problems. They weren't serious, but health problems that I developed when I was living in New York City in the 80s. Prior to that, I had started to explore certain things, but not too diligently, just out of curiosity. But in 2 years in a row, I developed two chronic conditions. As I said, neither of them were serious, but they wouldn't go away with using conventional medicine. One was chronic bronchitis, and the other one was I had a kidney stone. I partially passed it, was taken to the hospital, and x-rays were done, et cetera, and they hooked me up to IVs. And part of the stone was lodged, so it passed out of the kidney, but I hadn't peed it out yet. And in both cases, there would be flare-ups from time to time, and my energy wouldn't be right and things of that nature. And as a result, let's see, which came first? I guess the kidney stone came first, and what happened there was a friend of mine was from the Seychelles Islands originally and was pretty knowledgeable about natural healing methods such as herbology and things like that. And he's also a very skilled practitioner of acupressure and shiatsu. And he recommended that I go see this guy. I lived in Manhattan. He recommended that I go see this man in Brooklyn who was in town from Trinidad and was only going to be in town for a couple more days. And I said, well, what does he do? And he said, I can't explain it. Just go see him. He's cheap. He's good. And I'm sure he can help you. So basically because I was desperate, I took a long subway ride out to the middle of nowhere in Brooklyn. And I found this man. He was visiting his daughter. Really, really wonderful, warm human being. And he sat me down and started asking me a bunch of questions. And he continued to ask me questions for over an hour. And the questions were initially to me baffling because I explained to him that I'd come because of this kidney stone problem. And I was really baffled why he was asking these questions. He was asking questions like, did I sleep on my side? Did I sleep on my back? Did I sleep on my stomach? If I slept on my side, what side? What was the nature of my dreams? All sorts of stuff that I thought had nothing to do with my condition. And he just kept, in a very humorous, smiling face voice, he just kept saying, bear with me, bear with me. It's all going to make sense. And what he was doing was taking what they call a constitutional profile in homeopathy. He was a practitioner of homeopathic medicine, which conventional medicine continues to say can't possibly work because the homeopathic remedies literally have no physical trace of the elements that are used to create them. And what they fail to understand, and this also applies to Sherry's work, what they fail to understand is that the remedies, it's true. You can't, once the remedies are made, when it's made through a long process, you start with the original remedy, and then you add a little bit of alcohol, and you do what's called succussant, you shake it, and then you take that liquid, you pour off the liquid, and you take basically just a drop of that liquid, and you add it to another, by this time it's water, you add it to purified water, and you shake it again. And then you take a drop from that, and you do it again. And depending on how many times you do it, that increases your potency. For instance, like if it's 6X, that means it's been succussed six times. If it's 6CC, it means it's been succussed 60 times. The more you do it, the further you dilute the physical substance. And I had no idea what the heck he was talking about. And by this time, I just knew he was a compassionate guy, and I just figured, well, I'm just wasting my money, but I'm just going to listen to him, hear him out. And so after asking me all these questions, he had an idea of what I needed. And then he consulted this big medical textbook he had, which is called the Materia Medica, and he just wanted to confirm in the text that the remedy he thought I needed was the proper one, and sure enough, it confirmed it. So he gave me this little vial of homeopathic remedies that looked like little sugar capsules, and he told me to pour two of them into the cap of the vial and not to touch them, and then to tip the cap so that the pellets went underneath my tongue, and then just to allow them to dissolve. He told me to do that every 5 minutes for the first hour, and then to do it again for every hour through the rest of the day. And he said, by tomorrow you'll pass the stone and you'll feel fine. And the remedy only cost $5, and the consultation cost $20, so I figured, well, okay, I didn't waste that much money. And I left his office convinced, or actually it was his daughter's apartment, but convinced that I just wasted my time. But nonetheless, I did what he instructed. And so I took the remedies all day according to the time frame that he'd given me, and nothing much seemed to be happening that day. And then the next day, I had to pee. And as I started to pee, all of a sudden my flow of my stream just was kind of momentarily blocked, and then the stone popped out. I passed it. And as I did that, this incredible wave of energy went through my body, and I not only felt like I had passed the stone and my kidney was fine, but I felt like my health had improved dramatically. There was an energetic shift that was very noticeable. I was flooded with energy, and that remained with me for days. And I was really, really intrigued, so I wanted to contact the man and thank him. And when I called back, his daughter said, well, he's already gone back to Trinidad. I never saw him again. I never spoke to him again. But that kind of intrigued me, but not enough to really pursue anything. And then the following year, I ended up sleeping as a guest in a friend of mine's apartment, and it was the first day of a heat wave in Manhattan. So he turned on the air conditioner, but he hadn't cleaned it, so it still had all the gunk on the filter from the previous season. And I ended up sleeping underneath it. And I developed initially a very serious case of acute bronchitis. And then the acute phase passed, and then I got chronic bronchitis. And I just couldn't shake it. I went to doctors, and they said, yes, you have bronchitis. And they gave me some prescriptions, and the the drugs just made me feel worse, and so I eventually stopped taking them. And so for a number of weeks, I was just basically coping with this chronic cough, and this during the day I would get very tired and things of that nature, and sometimes I would get feverish. And then another friend of mine told me I should go see this woman who was in Chinatown in Manhattan, and that she was a practicing acupuncturist, but she was here in the country illegally. She didn't have a license, but apparently she worked wonders. And I said, well, that doesn't sound like a pretty good thing to do. I mean, what is she doing? She goes, trust me, I've been to her, blah, 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 blah. So I decided to go. She charged $10. I went to see her, and she didn't speak a word of English, and her daughter did all the translations. And the first thing she did was put three fingers on the vein that comes in from where the wrist meets the inside of the arm. And she was doing a pulse reading, which I knew nothing about at the time. And then after she did that, she said something in Chinese, and her daughter translated, and she started telling me about my health history from the time I was a child, including the year that I'd had my tonsils out. And I was astonished by that. Now, I have to say, she was a very skilled woman, and she probably was also intuitive to some degree, because I've been to other acupuncturists, and most of them are not as intuitive as this lady was. But she was my first exposure to acupuncture. And long story short, she did a session. She placed a few needles on my chest and a few in my lower leg near my ankles for about 20 minutes. And then she did another pulse reading, and she said I was fine and to go home. And she encouraged me to go home immediately, not to stop. And I said, why? And through her daughter, she said, because you're going to start coughing up a lot of phlegm, and within an hour, you're going to be fine. It took me about 20 minutes to get home from a cab ride, and when I got to my apartment, literally within minutes, I started coughing. And sure enough, I expectorated this big, huge ball of gunky phlegm. And again, I had a similar energetic shift that I'd experienced the previous year with acupuncture. I mean, with homeopathy. So now I was really intrigued. And so, based on sheer curiosity, now I didn't have any other health problems, I started to seek out and experience a lot of different types of healing modalities, starting with chiropractic and body work and herbs, and did more work with homeopathy, more work with acupuncture. And I did this for a number of years, and I read a lot of books about it, and eventually started to write about it. And then in 1991, I moved to Los Angeles, and there I met Burton Goldberg, and he hired me originally to be a research editor, kind of low on the totem pole, but he was putting together this huge encyclopedia of alternative medicine, and very quickly he promoted me to be the editor of it and also principal writer. And in that process, I ended up meeting approximately 400 doctors, including the late Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize twice. So I was literally getting a hands-on education from the top experts in the field of all these different varieties of holistic medicine, more than 40 modalities. And I was meeting patients, and I was experiencing these treatments firsthand. And ultimately that experience led to the creation of Alternative Medicine, The Definitive Guide, which to this day is still recognized as the most comprehensive single volume on the subject. And I've subsequently oversaw and was the principal writer for the second edition, and I've written 12 other books on my own, either by myself or with other doctors. And I've just continued to do this because those experiences, and then particularly when I got to L.A. and I started to meet these people, in many cases who had been given up for dead with cancer and things of that nature, who were vibrantly healthy many years later because of alternative medicine, I just felt like I had an obligation to share this because my talent is as a writer, so I decided to make that commitment. And the other thing that I learned when I was doing the guide was how much of a draconian, repressive atmosphere there is politically in this country for doctors and other healers, people such as Sherry, who try to bring this stuff out into the world, these healing therapies, and instead of being welcomed, you know, with open arms because the stuff that they're doing, the work they're doing is effective, they're actually facing all sorts of legal hurdles and in some cases far worse than that. I've met doctors that have gone to prison for no reason at all, except that they trumped up charges about him and went after doctors simply because they were using nutrition and other safe, non-toxic therapies to treat cancer. Jonathan Wright, who's a very well-known physician, is one of the most brilliant physicians in the world when it comes to the use of nutritional herbal supplements for healing. He was a contributor to the guide, and during the time that we were creating it in the early 90s, over a three-year period, during that time, his clinic was raided with guns drawn by a SWAT team from the local sheriff up in the state of Washington. And what had happened was the FDA had contacted the sheriff's department in his local community and said, this guy's an international drug dealer, and literally lied to them. And the SWAT team and the sheriff had no, you know, they had no reason to mistrust the FDA, so they thought they were taking down this big drug dealer. So what they did was, early in the morning when the clinic first opened and Dr. Wright wasn't there, the clinic was completely staffed by women, five women. They kicked down the doors, came in with guns drawn, threw all the women down on the ground, and were treating them as if they were, you know, murderers or something, or major drug dealers. They raided Dr. Wright's office. They took his computer. They took all his patient files and everything else, and then they left. And they never pressed charges against him. And the reason they never pressed charges against him was because there were no charges that they could have pressed. They basically targeted him because he had a very large constituency of conventionally trained doctors who were regularly subscribing to his newsletter and attending his lectures so that they, too, could learn how they could stop using drugs, which are very toxic and have very serious side effects in many cases, or at least minimize the use of drugs, use smaller doses, and treat health conditions from a safer, more natural approach using diet and nutrition. So the FDA didn't like that. And the reason they didn't press any charges was because they basically assumed that since they had taken his patient's records and they had taken his computers, two computers, he would be unable to practice. And the assumption they made was that the only recourse he had legally was to take the FDA to court. And what people don't realize is when a doctor is faced with this type of situation, and Dr. Wright, unfortunately, is not the only doctor that's gone through this, and there are people, even as we speak, that are going through it in this country, the so-called land of the free. Typically what happens is you bring a lawsuit, and you have to hire, if you're the doctor, you have to hire a lawyer, you have to pay for the legal fees involved in your, you know, pursuing your case. Now, the FDA, they don't have to pay for their lawyer because we pay for their lawyer. We pay for their lawyer with our taxes. So they have an unlimited legal budget. They can stall and they can do this and they can, you know, have the case delayed and delayed and delayed. And this is typically what they do is this tactic. If they don't outright try to put a doctor in prison, they try to literally bankrupt them through financial woes. But what they didn't realize was they had gone after the wrong guy, because Dr. Wright was so well respected, not only among the holistic medical community, but also among the conventional medical community, that doctors across the nation, as well as many other people, including ourselves, Burton and I, you know, the people that were doing the book, all sent in donations for his legal defense fund. And it took about 2.5 years, if memory serves me well, before the case was finally concluded. And all charges, I mean, he got everything back, and he was, you know, to this day, he's still able to practice. But it was a big black eye for the FDA because they didn't think that this guy would be able to come up with the money to defend himself, but he did. And his only crime was that he was treating people with nutrients. And the charge, the reason they were able to tell the sheriff, the FDA was able to tell the sheriff that he was an illegal drug dealer, a drug dealer, was because what Dr. Wright had found in many of his cases, many of his patients, when he did a blood test, is that they were deficient in vitamin B12. Now, a lot of people are deficient in vitamin B12, particularly people who are vegetarian, because you don't get B12 from fruits or vegetables. You have to, the most plentiful supplies are in meats and eggs and things of that nature. So what Dr. Wright was doing was doing what are called B12 injections, which are a short term, usually on a weekly basis, sometimes biweekly. You just get a little prick in your butt and you get vitamin B12 shot. And for most people, they only needed a few of these, and then their energy levels would improve and things of that nature. But what Dr. Wright also found was that all of the vitamin B12 that was suitable for injection in the United States, or that was made in the United States for injection, contained fillers and excipients that caused in many patients, not all, but in many patients, allergic reactions and interfered with the effectiveness of the B12. So he searched around and he finally found a pharmaceutical-grade brand that was manufactured in Germany. And even though it cost him more money to import it than it would have been if he just bought it from U.S. manufacturers, he chose to do this because it was free of all these fillers and was the purest form he could find. So because he was importing vitamin B12 from Germany into the United States, the FDA went to the sheriff and said, this guy's an international drug dealer. Now, the sheriff believed the FDA because it was the FDA. He thought it was a legitimate claim from a legitimate government agency. The sheriff, once he found out what had happened, went on record saying the FDA lied to him, that he would never cooperate with him again. And on top of that, all of Dr. Wright's patients petitioned. They signed petitions and protested, and it turned out this guy had never talking decades and decades of medical practice, he had never had a patient complain.
Wow.
So this is the nature of what we're facing in this country, because this country, I still feel in most regards this country is the greatest country in the world, but at the same time we have a very corrupt, controlling elite that have undermined the principles of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, and they've done it almost from the inception of our country's history. But they really started to do it at the beginning of the 20th century when they started to really take control over a lot of things that the Constitution basically does not allow them to have control over. But unfortunately, Congress, for the most part, has been funded by these people, and so they've passed all sorts of laws that have basically given away a lot of our freedoms. And we're certainly seeing this now under the so-called war on terrorism. A lot of the Bill of Rights has basically been shredded under the Bush administration, but it wasn't just Bush. This has been going on for a long time. And Bill Clinton did the same thing after Waco. So the political freedoms are disappearing, but so are our medical freedoms. And unless people become aware of this, eventually we could lose those freedoms. So, I'm very much interested in this subject simply because I've seen so many people who have benefited from alternative medicine. I've also met doctors whose livelihoods have literally been destroyed because of the types of things I'm talking about. I've actually met doctors that have even been imprisoned because of this. So what I try to do in my writings is to let people know of things that they can do themselves from a self-care perspective. So if our freedoms or if our access to some of these things do disappear, we'll still be able to keep ourselves healthy.
Right, right. A lot of what Sherry's work is here is teaching your body to heal itself.
Exactly.
A lot of self-help things. Now, you have a chapter in your book, Health on the Edge, devoted to Sherry's work. How did
yes.
you become involved with Sherry and her work?
What was the question?
How did you become involved with
Sherry? Well, I was aware of Sherry for years, and when I did the initial edition of Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, there is a chapter on sound healing, or sound therapy, but there... she was not included, and at the time, I wasn't aware of her, and I had no access to her. After that book came out, I became aware of her, and I became intrigued by the work because I started getting reports from other people who had benefited from it. And the book Health on the Edge was actually one of my favorite books to write. I basically decided to write it simply so that I could meet certain people that I'd never met before and interact with them, and Sherry was one of them. So what I did was I created a what's called a book proposal, explaining what the book would be about, and I sent it to my agent. My agent sold it. Now, so I had a contract to write this book, and I had all these people in the proposal that I said were going to be included in the book, and with the exception of three or four of the people, I hadn't told the other people that they were going to be in the book. So then once I got the contract, I started to contact them, and I contacted Sherry, and I'll never forget the first conversation I had with her. It was through the phone, and I had heard all these great things about her, including her remarkable ability to actually hear frequency coming off the human body, and to also be able to emit it back to the body with her voice.
Mm-hmm.
But I really wasn't sure how well that worked. But I was still, nonetheless, getting so many reports from these. You know, I have connections to doctors all over the country, and people were saying this stuff really works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I called her up, and she got on the phone, and she started explaining a little bit about what she did. And I was coming at it from a very, you might say, analytical perspective. And she finally just stopped me in my questions, actually fairly early on in the conversation. She said, "Well, would you like to hear your signature sound?" And I said, "Sure." And the next thing I knew, I was hearing this unbelievably beautiful sound coming through the phone that I was certain was coming from a synthesizer hooked up to a computer or something. But as I was hearing it, it was like it was as if every cell in my body was going, "Oh, my God, where's this been? I've needed this all my life." I just felt this incredible feeling of relaxation and ease and energy and happiness. It was just... And it was only, you know, probably 30 seconds, if that. And then Sherry astonished me by telling me that she was doing this with her own voice. And I've seen her do this in person now when I finally got to meet her when I met you as well in Chicago. It's just a remarkable ability. But the fact, what to me it was even more remarkable, is that she was obviously born with a gift that most people do not have. But she was so dedicated in her desire to help others that through great trial and effort, she was able to create this technology that you guys were talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
where it can all be done on computer. People can learn how to do it for themselves and for their loved ones. The last time I was on this radio show with Sherry, I was really recommending, and I'll do it again tonight, that anyone that has an interest in this, anyone that has an interest in taking more control over their well-being and their loved ones' well-being, I really recommend that they go to the website that Heather and Nikki was talking about earlier and get started. And if possible, find someone that is trained in the work, such as Nikki, and work with them. But you can do a lot of this on your own.
Absolutely. And we always need more practitioners. For every practitioner we graduate here, there's, what, Nikki, probably 50 people lined up wanting to have this done.
More than 50. We make that many referrals a day. But you know, Larry, you were talking about how politics plays a part in your health, and HMOs decide what operations you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why our work is so important.
Absolutely.
You can decide. You can take charge of your own health. And you can decide what you want to do. And nobody dictates that to you.
That's exactly right. And that goes back to what I really think was the founding principle that guided our founding fathers when they created the United States of America, which was the freedom to choose, but side by side with that, the recognition that each of us as individuals is responsible for our own life. And what we live in a culture now where most people don't take responsibility for their own lives. They're looking for other people to take care of them on some level, whether it's their doctor, whether it's their government, whether it's someone they're in a relationship with. But we need to learn how to stand on our own two feet. We need to recognize that our health is a direct reflection of the choices we're making in our lives. And those choices include what we do with our diet, what we do with whether or not we exercise. But even more importantly, it's what we do with our thoughts and attitudes and beliefs, because there's an incredible amount of research that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that the number one cause of illness in 95% of all cases, at least 95% of all cases, is stress. And most of the stresses that we deal with on an ongoing basis are not the stresses of the outside world. They're the stresses that are caused by our responses to what's going on in the outside world, side by side with our habitual thoughts and beliefs. So, for instance, to give you an example, you're driving down the road and you're in a two-lane highway, and all of a sudden some guy cuts you off and nearly hits your car but doesn't and then goes on. Well, when that happens, most people, I'm assuming, would probably honk the horn and swear and still be upset about it 10, 20 minutes later. Now, what happens in that type of reaction is as soon as you move into anger and fear mode, your body releases a flood of stress hormones like cortisol, and one of the primary functions of stress hormones is to suppress your immune function. So think about people who are habitually depressed, habitually angry, habitually upset with something in their life, but aren't doing anything to change that. What they're actually doing is, on a daily basis, suppressing their immune system. Because their immune system gets suppressed, they're much more susceptible to infectious microorganisms, bacteria, viruses, fungi, etc. Whereas if you have a healthy immune system, you can be exposed to all that stuff, and in most cases you won't get sick. It's like people who never catch the flu during the height of flu season. Many of these people, if you notice, the people that usually escape illness during flu season are people who are habitually pretty calm and pretty happy and pretty satisfied with the way their lives are going. Unfortunately, there's a lot of us that aren't like that, and I think it's incumbent upon all of us to really start to take a look at that and recognize, okay, where is it that I'm giving up my responsibility? Because when you give up your responsibility, you give up your power. I always like to tell people, I think the English language is really amazing because there's clues in the language, the way words are shaped. And responsibility has two words. It has response and ability. And if you have the ability to make the response of your choice, you have power. If you don't have the ability to make the response of your choice, your power has been taken away, but you've given it away. When you take responsibility, you create freedom for yourself, and you also create the means to improve your life, including your health. So this is really becoming more and more a focal point of the things that interest me as a writer. I've been writing about healing methodologies and health and things of that nature, as you mentioned, for many years, over 20 years, and I've been exploring it personally for over 30. And what keeps coming back is, it all starts with the individual. And if we take our power back, we can create all sorts of solutions for ourselves that we don't perceive when we're not acting responsibly. And that's why I love Sherry's work, because not only can anyone learn how to do this, for instance, on the program you're talking about, at the nutritional program, you know, you literally can monitor your nutritional needs every day with this program that Sherry's developed right through your computer. So you'll know if you're deficient or if you have too much of a particular nutrient just by talking for a few moments into a microphone hooked up to your computer, and then the computer gives you back all this information. And I experienced this directly when I was with Sherry and you guys in Chicago, and it's just amazing how elegant it is. And I remember at her presentation where she spoke, she had volunteers, you know, from the audience who she didn't know. She just met them for the first time, and they spoke into a microphone, and sure enough, all these things were coming up, and she, not only was she telling them what nutritional things that they needed to do, but she was telling them what their personalities were like and what their stress issues were. And the funny thing was, I remember this one guy was there, and he was there with his wife and another female friend. And he's just kind of like, everything Sherry was saying, he's kind of looking at it like, well, I don't know, maybe. In the meantime, the wife and then the girlfriend and the other woman are just sitting there laughing their heads off. Like, that's so true, that's so true. He's just exactly like that.
She does that, doesn't she?
Yeah, but it's, again, it's not her ability. I mean, she can do this on her own because she was born with this gift. But the technology that she's developed will allow anybody to do this.
Exactly.
So imagine if you have the ability, I'm talking to the audience now that's listening to this call, imagine if you have the ability to every day take a few moments talking to your computer through a microphone and find out, okay, this is what I'm deficient in today, so these are the nutrients that I really ought to look at. And you can, you know, you can find the nutrients in the foods, but you might have to supplement with them. If you start to do that and that alone, you're going to make dramatic changes in your health for the better.
Larry, I have to ask you, at that expo, we have some pre-programmed boxes, and you were listening to the Overture box.
Yes, I actually have an Overture box, and I love it.
Do you still listen?
Yeah, I try to listen to it at least a few times a week. And
Do you feel that energy boost?
Pardon?
Do you feel the energy boost that you felt with the other forms of alternative medicine?
What I experience primarily with the Overture is it's actually difficult to put in words because I really experience a shift in consciousness. I feel more at ease, more peaceful. If I listen to it, if I happen to be stressed, if there's stress and tension in my body when I listen to it, it just dissipates away. But what I find is that if I close my eyes and listen to it, it allows me to more readily or more easily tap into my own inner guidance, and I'll get all sorts of answers if I'm choosing to use it for that purpose. And oftentimes, if I'm just kind of zoning out and listening to it, all sorts of creative ideas will spark. And oftentimes, like if I'm working on a piece of writing and I'm haven't figured out where to go next with it, the solution will just present itself. So what I'm finding is that I don't know if this is the experience that other people have with the Overture box, but what I'm finding is it really reconnects me to myself. And by myself, I mean your higher self or your inner self, where all these answers really lie. And so I find it a very, very wonderful tool. It's completely non-invasive. All you do is you put the headphones on and you turn it on, but it's not like you have to be quiet. I've used it as I'm reading a book and things of that nature, and it's these sounds that are not, you might say, not typical, but they don't necessarily require my unfocused or my focused attention. I can be doing other things and still get benefits from them. But at the same time, when I do focus on it and I do close my eyes, I just get into a very alert meditative state, and as I said, just really feelings of well-being.
You know, we have several different dedicated tone boxes that work similarly to the Overture box. We have the little back box as well. Nikki, can you tell the folks a little bit about the back box? You've experienced a little bit of that, haven't you?
Yeah, the back box is dedicated to minor back pain, and actually at this point in time we're trying to do some more with the marketing of the back box.
That's right. We're trying to get the word out a little bit more, and we're focusing on the little back box at this point. So it's a wonderful tool, and it's available to the public. If you want to jump on Nutrisounds.com, you can find out a little bit more about that. And then there's littlebackbox.org. You can also find out more about that. Larry, actually, I've got an email here with a question for you.
All right.
From a Dr. C from Pennsylvania. Larry, I want to thank you for including Sherry's work in your compendium of world leaders in health. I've been following her work for years and include it in my practice. She has helped in many cases where conventional medicine had no answer. Where do you see her work fitting into what you conceive as the new medicine that must eventually rise from the ashes of our present healthcare system?
That's a great question.
Wow.
And I think the answer to that, thank you, Dr. C, I think the answer to that is pretty obvious if you've read between the lines of what I've been saying. I really see Sherry's work being one of the foundational centerpieces of the new medicine, because another woman that was included in the book, Health on the Edge, is Dr. Valerie Hunt, who's another absolutely brilliant scientist and researcher. And she has a saying that chemistry is a downstream event. And what she means by that is that our current paradigm for health is based on chemistry. Whether it's a nutrient, whether it's an herb, whether it's your diet, or whether it's conventional medicine, you know, the drugs, these are all chemical substances. And what Dr. Hunt has found through many, many years of research, and she's not the only one, and this is also true for Sherry as well, is that the chemical event is influenced by the energetic event. In other words, we are first and foremost energetic beings, and that's been proven scientifically. We have an energy field that encompasses the human body, surrounds the human body, and that energy field changes according to our thoughts and emotions and beliefs and the experiences that we have with other people and our interactions with them. When you learn how to master that field, you basically literally start to become a master of your own life. And what Sherry's technology does, just as I've explained with the Overture Box for myself, is it enhances, at least from my direct experience with it, it enhances the ability that we have to perceive that energy field. And once you are able to perceive it, that's where the magic lies, because then you can really start to experiment with it for yourself. And you can notice, okay, this is making my field weak, this is making my field strong. That's the first step. The second step is to learn how to take control of your field so the things that once made it weak no longer affect you. It's like, for instance, one of the worst events in history was when the United States dropped nuclear bombs on Japan. And, you know, pretty much wiped out the communities and left, you know, toxic radiation for God knows how many decades. And yet, not everyone was killed in the area of the epicenter where the bombs were dropped. And not everyone developed radiation sickness either. Now, one of the reasons for this was because some of the people that survived with little to no impact were very poor, and they had a diet that was basically seafood and rice, and the seafood and also seaweed. And the seaweed is very, very, seaweed is a wonderful food for getting radiation out of the body. So from a dietary perspective, they were protected, but I would hazard a guess that some of those people also, whether they were aware of it or not, had very strong energy fields, and that helped protect them from a really devastating thing. It's the same thing now. You're hearing all this, all these studies, and they're certainly true, that various electromagnetic pollution can cause cancer. And that's absolutely true. And yet, as people have pointed out to me, why is it that some people can be habitually exposed to power lines and things like that and never have the slightest health problem, whereas other people, if they're in the presence of power lines just for a short time, start to feel tired or weak or sick? And I think a lot of that has to do, again, with the energy field and keeping it strong, keeping it powerful, because on the spiritual level, I don't want to go into a real tangent here, but I guess I am to somewhat extent, but all of us are spiritual beings. You probably heard the phrase that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Mm-hmm. We come into this world to learn and to heal and to then pass on what we learn to others as part of, I think, the evolution of humanity. That's part of our purpose, is to serve others. But we can't serve others until we serve ourselves and heal ourselves. And on that level, we're immortal and we're impervious to any illness. The trick is to bring that level into the human body, and you do that through frequency. You do that by managing emotions, which are frequencies, managing thoughts, which are frequencies. So I think Sherry's work, getting back to the original question, is extremely important, in that it allows one to do this more easily and more consistently.
That's exactly right. That's it. That's the key right there. The programs that she's developed, they do it really for you. I mean,
well, they do, but at the same time, I wouldn't leave it just there, Nikki. They do it for you, but they also, if you're willing to make the effort, I think they provide keys so that you can learn how to do it yourself. And to me, that's the marvel of it, because I don't want to be in a position in my own personal life where I'm relying on anything outside of myself on an ongoing basis. I'll certainly use things, whether it's the Overture Box, whether it's a healing modality, I'll do whatever is necessary. But I'm always, when I'm engaged in those those experiences, I'm always asking myself, okay, what can I learn from this, and what is the lesson in my life that I need to pay attention so that whatever I'm using this therapy for, I can heal. And I find that healing is like, you know, unraveling the layers of an onion. You can heal the physical body, then you get into the emotional body, and there's deeper and deeper and deeper levels of healing. So it's an ongoing journey, but it's also an exciting adventure. It's not drudgery. Once you really start to see what the possibilities are, it just becomes a really wonderful adventure.
Training the body to heal itself.
Right. Yeah. But the body heals itself when the consciousness is in harmony with the body. And that's where I think sound technology, particularly what Sherry's developed, is so important, because anyone, for instance, has had the experience, if they're stressed and they hear a song they like, it instantly shifts their attention away from their stress. Or if they're feeling tired and they hear a song that they really love, that's a high-powered, you know, say a rock song or something like that, that they like, it just automatically gives them a burst of energy. Well, that's kind of an imprecise way that sound can work. What Sherry's developed are precise ways where you can literally target an issue. For instance, you were talking earlier about the weight loss study. That's an issue, the back box. I remember in Chicago, Sherry passed out to the audience. She asked if people had back pain, and four or five people did, and so she allowed them to use the back box while they were going through while they were listening to her. And then 20 minutes later, she asked every single one of them if they had noticed a difference in their back pain, and every single one of them reported that the back pain had either gone away or it was tremendously less than it was before listening to the little back box. And we saw this at the booth, too. People would come over and try it, and they had a back pain, and, you know, between 10 or 20 minutes later, it's like, wow, I feel better. It doesn't hurt as much, or my back pain's gone. So what's happening there? As you're listening to those frequencies, whatever's causing the stress in your back is being released. The frequency is changing that stress into something that's not stressful.
Larry, I'm going to sneak another email in here. This is from one of our clients we saw here a couple months ago. She writes, "My family and I went to see Sherry at her clinic in Ohio. It was so much more than I expected and so much more in-depth than I had been led to believe. There needs to be more written about her technique. Any collaboration between the two of you in the near future? How about that?"
It's a possibility. I know we've talked about it. It's really... Sherry herself is a great writer. She sent me many of the things that she's written. I don't think it's necessary that I write with her per se, but I think it's definitely necessary that more people become aware of her, and that's why I included her in Health on the Edge. And I continue to talk about her on my newsletter, which is a free online newsletter called the Health Plus Letter, which you can find at www.onehealthyworld.com. And whenever there's news to share that she sends me, I like to let my readers know about it.
Larry, she's working on a new article for JBAB. It's going to be Math as Medicine.
That sounds very intriguing, because just the title alone makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, you can find that soon at JBAB. That's JBAB.org. So we'll make an announcement when that hits the website. Larry, we are almost out of time. I can't believe that. That was a very fast hour there.
No, I enjoyed it as always. You guys did a great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And once again, if you're interested in Sherry Edwards and her work, you can find us on the World Wide Web at www.nutrasounds.com. If you're interested in that scholarship, two scholarships we have for the first two people who get in touch with us, we'd love to talk to you about that. You can call us at the office at 740-698-9119 or email me directly, heather@vocalprofiling.com or nikki@vocalprofiling.com. Larry, I want to thank you again. It was a great show.
My pleasure.
Okay. Have a good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.